Hey, Chuck, I thought I'd send you this little voicemail. I think the guys in our chat room are trying to hack our network. Here's a transcript I recorded.
Deckard says, wouldn't you prefer a nice game of chess? Deckard says, oops, how about global thermonuclear war? Mark Shepard says, no global thermonuclear war. Jotam says, nana nanu. HMNSHLD says, alright guys, the first step is to get across this firewall jumps over wall. Deckard says, that indicates our current defense condition. It should red defcon 5, which means peace, it's still on 4, because of that little stint. Mark Shepard says, here, try this little back door that took always leaves open. Deckard says, what's the password? I already tried, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Jotam says, has anyone tried got yet? HMNSHLD says, Tyra 101. Mark Shepard says, I'm here to obtain the keys to Technorama Empire. HMNSHLD says, I already got them right here. You want them? Mark Shepard says, username, KCUHC. HMNSHLD says, action, unlocks the door with a digital credit card. HMNSHLD says, come on guys, the door is open. Mark Shepard says, you go first, I'm scared. Jotam says, is that an NT server over there? Mark Shepard says, what's this, Pac-Man meets Microsoft, Bob? HMNSHLD says, cheese it.
This show is a proud member of Friends in Tech at friendsintech.com.
Hello and welcome to Technorama, the show that takes a lighter look at tech, science fiction, and all things geeky. This is show number 104 for April 27th, recorded on location inside the video game Tron. I'm your host, Chuck Tomasi, and with me is the man driving up in a brand new, well, slightly used light cycle. It's
Make up
Craig
your mind.
Stapp. It looked
good
new.
On this thing, man.
I went for the family wagon, the recognizer.
No!
Oh, Dad, the kids are so embarrassed when you pick them up from school in that thing.
No kidding.
Coming up in tonight's show, we've got follow-ups to our Star Trek movie news, listener feedback from Scott, and Bruce.
Bruce and his brother Scott and Scott.
Is your name not Bruce then? We wonder why IE is still around at all, and much, much more coming up right after On This Day in Tech History.
Hey, watch this, Chuck. I'm going to hit the wall.
On This Day in Tech History for April 27th, 2006. This is April 27th, it's the 117th day of the year in the Gregorian calendar. There are 248 days remaining in 2006. It was on this date in 1521 that Portuguese explorer Ferdinand Magellan died. And in 1981, Xerox PARC introduced the computer mouse. Captain Midnight! John R. McDougall hijacks HBO's satellite and transmits his own message to HBO viewers on this date in 1986. Yet on this date in 2005, the super jumbo jet aircraft Airbus 380 makes its first flight from Toulouse, France. Happy birthday goes out on this date in 1791 to Samuel F.B. Morse. The man behind the Morse code, of course. I have no idea what that means. Philip Hogg Abelson, the American Nobel Prize-winning physicist, was born on this date in 1913. And the Italian mathematician and philosopher Giancarlo Rota was born on this date in 1932. And that's the way it was on this day in tech history for April 27th, 2006.
Any morning is a good morning when you're listening to Chuck and Craig in Technorama. This is Victor Cahiar from the... Hey. What happened to you guys? I thought you were singers. Back to Chuck and Craig.
About that intro, you know, there's listener participation, and then there's listener participation. That was just a little on the bizarre side.
And even when they're surrogate participation, participants.
That actually was taken out of the chat room, by the way. The people were having a good time with that. Yeah. They did an awesome job. Craig just said, you guys are doing the intro tonight. And that was That's what right. we got.
Yeah. Hey, you got to get them doing something. I mean, come on.
Don't even offer them.
Don't. They're hacking our network. You give them an inch.
The mail is here. Ooh.
We have mail from my friend Scott Reynolds. We were talking about the useless.
Sweet mail.
I have another one that I have to go do an audio grab on that I have to stick in this collection. If you think of other ones, let me know, but I want those. Email from Scott Reynolds about our useless science facts we were reading off. He said, so it's no big surprise that the Earth is not in a perfect circular orbit.
Right. It's in ellipse.
And this means that while the time for light to reach Earth from the sun may be about 8 minutes 17 seconds at some point, solstices perhaps, by my calculations, it actually varies from 8 minutes 12 seconds at perihelion to about 8 minutes 29 seconds at aphelion. If you air this in your show, you're a geek.
Hey, we didn't read that before. Oh, no.
Did that come out of my mouth?
You're right.
Other one is from Scott Vaughn. He's got a Skype question. This goes out to you, the listener, to try and solve or resolve. He says, Chuck, I have a Skype question that you might be able to help me with. Well, actually, the answer was no. So I said, can I throw this in the show and maybe get a larger audience to help? My grandmother lives in Oshkosh at a nursing home. She refuses to make a long-distance phone call. She refuses to make a long-distance phone call me if there is a problem.
Okay.
I am looking into getting a Skype number in the 920 area code, but I'm not sure where they are located. Meaning, if I get a 920-626 number, it still might be long-distance. Is there a way to find out where a phone number is based out of?
Where it's based out of?
Yeah, 920 actually covers a wide area. It's like most of northeast Wisconsin. And if...
Well, the prefix there would...
Well, if they give you, if they just say, sure, you can have a 920 area code, he may end up in Green Bay and she's still got to make a long-distance phone call from Oshkosh. They're like 50 miles apart. He wants to make sure that he gets an Oshkosh number so she can call a local number and it rings at his house wherever he is in the world.
Well, you should be able to tell him what the prefixes are, and he should be able to register that.
The answer he keeps getting back from Skype customer service is, it's in the FAQ. But all that's in the FAQ is, we can give you a number in the area code.
I was actually... I see what you're saying. Yeah, because I went and was looking, and I was able to put in the area code. That's right. And it was, the area code I'm in stretches down. See, I actually live below Charlotte, and my area code is like the center part of the state.
Mm-hmm.
However, in the bottom part of that area, it's still long distance to call me. So it's like, you know, Columbia, South Carolina is the closest I can get a phone number, and that's long distance to everybody in town. Or if I get one in Charlotte, it's long distance to here, and that's even closer.
If anybody has an answer to how to get a specific prefix, or as they used to call it in
exchange
phone terms, it was NPA NXX. See, I used to work on a phone project once upon a time. If anybody knows how to do that, send us an email, chuck@chuckchat.com, and we will pass that on to listener Scott V. We also have voicemail!
You have 937 messages, all of which are marked urgent.
Not.
Chuck, you got another phone call!
Who is it?
Bruce Barr?
OnStar?
Bruce Barr!
Juice Barr?
Bruce Barr!
I don't know what you're trying to tell me. Have him leave a message.
Hey, Chuck and Craig, this is Bruce. Driving around Houston and listening to Technorama, and it only seems fair. Oh, don't worry about that music. It's pod safe anyway. It only seems fitting that I would be listening to Chuck Chat while driving in Houston because, it doesn't even seem like it could be about a year ago this time I listened to my first podcast. And Chuck Chat was definitely one of the first ones that I found driving around on a trip to Houston just about a year ago this week. Anyway, doesn't seem like it could be a year already. And I was most interested in the pet discussion. We had some pet computers in the recording studio at the University of Missouri at Kansas City in the middle 70s. And they had specifically bought those because they had a special bus. I think it was a 488 bus or something like that. Anyway, it had a special IEEE bus that was capable of controlling scientific instruments. You could use, there were professional scientific instruments, oscilloscopes, and other kinds of electronic gear that could be automated by the use of that bus. And it had the worst keyboard ever. Anyway, brought up some good memories there, love listening to you guys. Keep it up. 101.
No, my vote for worst keyboard ever goes to the PC Junior.
No.
What do you
got? The Sinclair 1000.
Well, the work slate ranks right up there too.
But I mean, I think it was like a the Sinclair was like a membrane thing.
Those are tough. You're never really
sure. The PC Junior wasn't that bad. It had that remote
IR.
The IR thing. It wasn't too bad. Although I do love the old IBM keyboards. They are a little loud, but I love them.
Gnats. Yeah.
Clack, clack, clack.
No, ants. There's gnats flying around in front of my screen.
I was like, I thought you were imitating typing on the keyboard. Hey, here you go. I have something for you. Maybe I should save it for the next year. No, I'm going
to
do it.
It's hard to believe it's been a year, but this is show number 104, so that means is 52 weeks. Next week is the next show is the one-year anniversary. They grow up so fast.
No. Oh, my God. Here you go, Chuck. Are you ready?
Yes.
I've got mail.
It's <What's> Bender.
Jeez it.
I've got mail.
And here you go, one more.
Leela, you've got mail. It's not spam.
Huh?
Yeah, send those to me. We'll use those at some point in the future.
Oh yeah, I couldn't wait. I had to play them.
Shout out to the chat room. It's Beaker1, Decker D, who I believe is Chad, Human Shield, K.O., Mad Marv, Mark Shepard, the RoboChuck 2000 is there to fulfill your every wish. Sucks.
Hey, whoa.
What?
I only got him to program to talk, not anything else.
Stingray 42, Tim Elliott, Douglas E. Welch from the Career Opportunities Podcast. He's making a rare appearance. And of course, rounding out the end, it's the faithful Zahadoom.
Zahadoom.
Guy's going to get his own jingle or something in this show soon. And final reminder, our Fit Frapper Smackdown ends the 30th. I almost said the 31st. There's no 31st in April.
The end of the month.
So by the time you get the next show, it's going to be over.
Chuck, the end of the month works for any month.
Well, yeah, at the end of April 2006. So get over there. You only have a few more times. It's like an eBay auction. Rush at the end. Speaking of eBay, I bought some servers today. Stick it in the map.
Yeah, in the map. You bought some servers off eBay.
I bought some servers off eBay today.
Do you know you can get some good corporate deals from Dell?
Not like these.
Okay.
I needed some Sun servers because we're actually using old Sun workstations to run our FlexLM license servers, some Spark stuff. And my requirements were one rack unit and Spark processor and run Solaris 8 and not much more.
Originally, I was looking at the V100, but unfortunately, they stopped making those. And when I started talking to a few vendors, they said, hey, guess what? The Netra T1-105 is cheaper. It's a little slower processor, only 400 megahertz instead of 550. And I went, hey, I don't care. It's a licensed server. It's asleep most of the time anyway.
Yeah.
So I went on eBay, and I found a pack of four of them for $400.
Wow.
Yeah.
A pack of pallet?
No, not a pallet. Just four single servers.
I see.
So
For $400.
$400.
That's pretty good.
I mean, they other ones were sold singly anywhere from $100 to $300 to $400, depending on what condition they were in. Did they have a CD-ROM? How big the hard drive? How much RAM? Yada, yada, yada. But, you know, for proof of concept to show that this platform will work, it's very close to the V100. But actually, this one's SCSI, so it'll give you a little better performance on the disks.
See, I like reusing old computers if you can. Now, if it's too slow, you know, it just gets frustrating. But if it's got to do something like what you're talking about.
Well, we've been using Sun Ultra 1s for like 8 years now. But they were originally purchased in 96 as engineering workstations. And then when we outgrew those, these became licensed servers. Only now they're starting to have problems with the NVRAM because it's battery-backed. And the batteries are built into the chip and it's dying. And it's just fans are starting to go. It's just getting harder to get parts. It's kind of like owning a 72 Bel Air. You're starting to put more money into maintaining it than...
Or my 71 Super Beetle I used to have.
Now he's actually got a new Beetle.
Yeah, now I got a new one. But I tell you what, that old one, that was the thing. Hey, it cranked every time I asked it to, so...
Guten Morgen. My name is Wilhelm from Germany. Whenever I am driving home on the Autobahn, I always listen to the Shock Shed Technorama podcast with his little friend, Craig Stepp. I think it is wunderbar. Keep on geeking, guys. Auf Wiedersehen. Endlich ein.
Someone got on a typewriter a little soon on that one. In the news, we have...
Wilhelm is typing.
Scientists allow you to help you see by way of your tongue. Now, this one just screamed of...
Wait a minute.
What?
No pun intended there.
Help you see with your tongue? Yeah, just screamed.
No scream.
Apparently, they've used this technology before.
Excuse me, can I lick
before.
Your face?
You look good. Okay, put it on a dog's mouth, they'll have less germs. They've used this technology before to like apply a sensor mat or web or grid to somebody's back. And then when you walk around, the little camera translates it into like impulses on this membrane. And you see, you know, if you're walking up to a door, there's this impression of a door pushed on your back. Well, now they've shrunk it down and made it the size of your mouth.
Oh, that's interesting.
So
okay.
For like scuba divers underwater, if they're in complete lack of visibility, they could still see where they're going roughly. And I must use infrared or something. The blind may be able to use this too, to see, you know, rough shapes and outlines and things. But I just don't know what to do. You know, if you come up and someone's holding a gun to you, stick them up. You go, ah!
Well, my speak to me. Well, what if my luck, I'd have that thing on with my eyes closed and walk into a glass door. Wouldn't see it.
Ow. Bam. That hurts.
Yeah, that luck.
But interesting technology nonetheless.
That is a pretty cool idea, though. I can see where it put pressure points in your mouth. That'd be a little odd having something stuck in your mouth like that.
Well, they're saying that the tongue is more sensitive.
I could totally see holding on to something, maybe in your hand or maybe even on your forearm, something giving you a little sensitivity, like from left to right or something, so you would know in which direction the object was. That'd be pretty cool, though.
Moving right along, judge hints at code in Da Vinci ruling from Yahoo News.
Yes, I've read about it. Did you read this?
I have not read it yet. I'm scanning it now. Go on.
Apparently, the judge is about to rule, or has already, and he decided to have a little fun with his ruling. This has to do with, did Dan Brown steal ideas out of, what was it, Blood, the Gold, the Holy Grail book? I can't remember the other book. Anyway, it was...
Not that Holy Grail, right?
Yeah. It was... he was accused of stealing ideas from this other man's book about the Holy Grail and Jesus and everything.
Yeah.
Anyway, so the judge is about to rule, and he issued some papers, and the lawyers for each team noticed that some of the letters were in italic, out of place, just some of the letters.
Mm-hmm.
Turns out the judge actually embedded a code into the papers he's issued, and he said the first one to figure it out wins. That's not the way it works, but he's wanting to see who can figure it out first. There's a code in there, and I think the code is actually his ruling.
Judges have been known to write very sophisticated and amusing judgments, Stevens said. The trend started long ago. One did a judgment in rhyme, another in couplets. There has been a precedence for this. It adds a bit of fun to what might have been a dusty text, he said. Nice. Well, good to see even judges have a sense of humor.
Can you imagine them? They're all sitting in court, and you're just like sitting back. Hey, y'all figure it out. What do you just tell us?
No, you figure it out.
Hacks and strange stories.
Now, apparently, I was reading this first story. You can theoretically run pinball while doing a Windows XP install.
Yeah. Remember? Did you ever install Caldera Linux?
I don't think I got that one.
Okay, and this is, you know, early days. And,
yeah.
Well, I say early days, but about 99-ish, or something like that. Caldera came, or maybe it was 2000, they came out with their own version of Linux. And during the install, after you've answered all the questions and it's starting to do the install, you could play, was it Solitaire? What was that? It was a game. You sit there and play while it's doing its install.
Sure.
And everybody was going, hey, it's pretty cool. You know, it just shows that it's a multitasking operating system. Well, anyway... apparently somebody else wanted to do this, but with Windows, and they wanted to play pinball as they were doing the install. And at first, I was like, I don't know if it's really set up to run apps so much, but apparently it is, and there's a way to do it. And this is a message board thread, and they're talking about the whole process on how to do this. So,
from what I read, it was still, you know, it sounded like, I want to do this, put it in the INF file. And the other guy came back and said, you're on crack. Yeah, so I didn't really... I didn't get to the end whether it was doable or not.
Yes, it is. And this one guy is able to open a command window, you know, during the install. So once you open the command window, you can go to the pinball. You can run the pinball.exe and it runs. But in the service pack, INF, you have to put the path. You have to kind of trick it a little bit, which, you know, what's the point? I just want to throw the disk in there and run it and install it. I don't want to play games.
Right. Does that slow it down? Is there a
performance? I want to hack it and then go to install it. I don't know if it really makes it slower. It may. Somebody was talking about that, had that concern as well. So, I thought that was pretty cool, though.
We also have a photo collection of office jokes while your coworker is on vacation. This is a collection I put in my Flickr account. Somebody sent these to me, and they said, hey, should we do this to Ryan while he's on vacation this week? I mean, there is the bunch of post-it notes where you just put thousands of post-it notes around their office. There's one where the office is completely coated in foil. I mean, the keyboard is aluminum foil wrapped, the chair, the monitor, although the monitor does show a Windows XP screensaver, and that's about all you can discern out of this foil office.
The Chia Pet keyboard is a nice touch.
The Chia Pet keyboard, yes. They put dirt in there and like radish seeds in the keyboard, and it's sprung up about an inch and a half.
Oh, that's nice, too. You got newspaper wrapped on everything, like the aluminum foil.
Yep, and then there's the office full of peanuts. They just sealed off the front of the cube and filled it all with those styrofoam packing peanuts.
Whoa.
Good stuff.
I got to say, the one with the keyboard going through the desk, that's...
I am still trying to figure out if that's real, if they chopped the keyboard and put...
I think they chopped the keyboard because I don't think they took a section out to make the keyboard shorter.
How did they secure it to the bottom?
It looks really too long, but at first it looks funny. That's pretty good, though. I have to remember that next time my boss goes out of town.
Well, that's a good picture. Look under the Hacks and Strange Stories link.
Hey, wait, who are these kids? Oh, that's you.
Yeah, there's also a lot of other pictures in my collection besides
these. Hey, what kind of joke is this?
Oh, that would be me.
Yeah.
That's a baby hacker.
Yeah. Is that your little brother beside you?
And then we've got a discussion about help humanity kill IE. And make money at it, too. What's this money part, Craig? I didn't see that.
Well, I'll explain this, and then I'll tell you what I found, actually, before the show. What it is, there's a website called Explorer.com.
Yeah.
What they want you to do is take this little piece of JavaScript code, put it on your website, and much like IE-centric sites say, you're not running a modern browser. Please click here to install Internet Explorer. Well, this is the reverse. You install this JavaScript on your site, and you get a nice little warning that says, hey, you should be running Firefox, you know, and gives you, you know, this site's, you know, there's different levels. You can do one that's a warning, one that actually redirects them and won't let them in the site unless they install Firefox. I thought it was pretty cool. Anyway, and what they want you to do, each time that you refer somebody over there and they click on the Google button, because Google gives you $1 every time you use their button to install IE, they said they will give you the $1.
You mean install Firefox?
Yes.
Okay.
Please forgive me. I did not mean to say that. Every time you install IE, I got that button on my website, and you click on it, and if you install it,
you made a few bucks.
I made actually three, because you know what? I was setting up some people's computers, and I was at my cousin's house. I was like, oh, you need Internet Explorer. I started to install it off the thumb drive, and went, hey, wait a minute.
And even weirder is you sent a link to killbillsbrowser.com.
Well, if you go to the Explorer Destroyer website, yeah, down at the bottom, they have all YouTube.
This must have been in a feed, because not only did you send this, but I also got it from some people at work at the same time.
I was just saying that I think they launched these sites either the day before, you know, yesterday or today. That's why everybody's been passing it around.
I think so. That must be why.
But the killbillsbrowser.com is yellow, much like the Kill Bill movie poster and you know, stuff that went around with the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And there's like 13 reasons why you should be running or get rid of Internet Explorer, or 13 good reasons to switch from Internet Explorer to Firefox. And they're pretty entertaining. So
you'll only see porn when you want to. Your kids will only see porn when they want to. And then it gives a reason. Sorry, butter, the apple doesn't fall from the tree. Your computer won't spend its time telling the world about Viagra soft tabs.
Like the Mozilla never had a talking paperclip.
Would you like to help laugh? Would you like help laughing at this joke? Yes, no. WTF, this joke isn't even about Internet Explorer.
That's right. Anyway, so yes, I always suggest that everybody, that if you're not running IE.
No, if don't you're run not, it. If you're not.
Don't start.
You're a little bad. It's like, don't smoke. If you're not smoking Marlboro, don't start.
Get Firefox and be done with it. Mm.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Hey, where can I find some good information about music and TV and videos and things?
Over here, in the media corner.
And our first bit in the media corner is Star Blazers, the anime-esque type cartoon, like much in the same vein as Speed Racer. Came back in. Actually, it's more like Battle of the Planets. They came out in the 70s.
G-Force! That one?
They're making a movie about it.
Really?
Yeah. Live action, by the way. I thought it was kind of odd.
All I can picture is dancing around like the Power Rangers. I'm sorry. That doesn't work for me.
No. That's Battle of the Planets, man, not Star Blazers. Star Blazers was the one where it looked like they were in a big submarine out in space. You know what looked like they had a Navy crew on it, the whole thing.
I'm drawing a blank. Nope.
Oh, apparently you are.
Anyway, in my genre. Well,
anyway, they're coming out with a full version. It's set in the 22nd century after an alien attack on Earth has forced the survivors to live in underground cities. Wait, that ain't the same story I remember.
Craig's been redirected to another link.
No, but that's right. No, I'm looking at it right here. anyway, they have a space battleship called the Yamato, and it's like I said, a big submarine. And anyway, you geeks out there know what I'm talking about. If you know what I'm talking about, you know what I'm talking about.
That was profound.
If you're not smoking, don't start. So
next one we got is Jedi Breakfast. This is another YouTube clip. A couple of guys sitting at the breakfast table. One's got his lightsaber sitting on the table, and the other's telling him off. And it just
now, what's funny is at first they're kind of, you don't see any of that except for they're sitting at the table, and the guy's like, "Dude, do we have to do this?" You know. And then they back off, and you see the saber sitting there, and the guy's like, "You're gonna burn the table." Yeah. So what? It's
funny. The lightsaber on the table does not bother you. He waves his hand up. It's like, doesn't even work. And then he starts making Star Trek references.
Yeah. So, yeah, when I found that, I was like, oh, this is so good in the show.
That's a good one. I like that.
And I do have a follow-up on our Star Trek story about Star Trek.
The Star Trek 11th movie in the series and the director of Lost guy. Go ahead.
Well, yeah, actually what he's doing is, I think he's set up to produce the next movie, not necessarily direct it and whatnot, but it's still up in the air. I think he had the option to. And they said that they weren't giving out all the details. So this is all that we saw last week was rumor, a total rumor.
And somebody ran with it.
Somebody ran with it. But if you go read it, it really looks like that this came from his mouth, you know, J.J. Abrams, but it didn't really. Today's article is from Empire Online, or it's actually on comingsoon.net, but Empire Online caught up with him, and he dispelled some of it. He's involved with it, but so we'll see how that goes. I still have good high hopes for it if he's involved with it, at least.
He didn't really dispel these myths, but he didn't exactly elaborate on them either. It just kind of sounded like, well, you know, that has possibility based on the rumors.
Yeah, I think from what I gathered, that it is still set in that pre-Starfleet, or that beginning of the Star Trek TOS era, you know, like I said, with Kirk and Spock, that era where they're in Starfleet Academy. But don't know if it's actually going to involve Kirk or Spock, but he said, hey, those are interesting characters. You never know. You know, so he's not directing, but he may, you know, I don't know. So we won't know until the movie comes out.
You won't know till you know.
That's right.
Maybe that's why we didn't hear it on Slice of Sci-Fi.
Yeah, I have to call those guys up.
Not many people know what it's like in the trenches. Just the few, the brave, the system administrators and IT professionals. Now, there's a podcast just for you and the battles you face every day.
Come on, boys, keep that network up.
Sarge, we need better technology now.
Incoming user complaints.
Strengthen that security on the double.
We're crashing! Game over, man! Game over!
Listen to In the Trenches with Kevin Devon and George Starcher at kevindevon.com. War is hell. Learn the best ways to survive.
You order the low-fat triple mocha latte.
In the Trenches.
This is Clinton from Comedy Forecast, and you're listening to Technorama. Shame on you.
It's time to play Try a Geek.
Try a Geek is a game we're playing on Technorama to test your geek prowess. We'll give out three geek words from tech, science, literature, and media that have some association. If you think you know what the association is, send your answer in an email to game@chuckchat.com. Points are awarded based on the difficulty of the clue, 1 to 3 points. You only get one guess per game, so make it a good one. We'll keep track of the scores in the wiki at chuckchat.com/wiki. Good luck, and here are your clues. Tonight's clues are STAT, PIP, and DDT. That's STAT, PIP, and DDT.
Are those things you hear on ER?
No. Close.
Uh-huh.
We need some DDT, STAT. Yeah. I think DDT was the stuff that, nearly wiped out the bald eagles?
I was thinking, isn't that hallucinogen?
No, that's PCP.
Oh.
That's a programming language.
It's PHP.
PCP is the programming language is for dope addicts.
Oh, wow, man, check out this class.
Geek humor gone really, really bad.
Oh, yes.
Hey, we have a Geek Thoughts.
Oh, cool.
I didn't put it in the show notes, but there it is in the playlist.
Technorama presents Stuff You Don't See on Star Trek. Wesley Crusher gets beaten up by his classmates for being a smartass, and consequently has a go at making some friends of his own age for a change. Technorama reminds you to geek responsibly by visiting chuckchat.com.
You'll never see that on Star Trek.
No.
Well, the smartass part, but...
Maybe with J.J. Abrams at the helm, he might...
Let's beat up Wesley.
Yeah. That's what we need to do. Yeah. Hey, Will Wheaton, we need you to come on the set. We're going to use you in this new movie. And they get him on there. The scene involves him with the throwing, putting him in a brown bag and beating the crap out of him. What do they call that in the Navy? A pajama party? No.
I don't know.
Like when you're hazing and you're... Oh, anyway, you know what I'm saying.
No.
Oh, hey, by the way, did we get any faxes this show?
We did get a fax. We got one from Stingray 42. Actually, we got two. They were both upside down, and one had more writing on it than the other. But they both basically said, Craig and Chuck rock.
And the cover page said, it was directed to somebody else.
Sorry. Hey, written on there is sorry, wrong number.
If found, please forward it to this number.
Oh, sorry, meant to have a text message.
Anyway.
Alright, on that note, let's take him out of here.
Let's take him out. It's your turn to contact us. Call the listener line at 206-222-CHAT. That's 2428. You can email Chuck at chuckchat.com and send audio comments to chuckchat@gmail.com.
Wait, stop. We got to do the closing credits like they do on Whose Line Is It Anyway? We'll pick a theme and then you have to do it.
Theme?
Yeah.
Okay.
Do the end of show stuff in the, we'll make it easy, in the style of Captain Kirk.
Captain Kirk. Okay. Now it's your turn to call us at the listener line. It's 206-222-CHAT. That's 2428. You can email Chuck at chuck@chuckchat.com. Send audio comments at chuckchat@gmail.com. You can email Craig at Craig, that's K-R-E-G, at chuckchat.com. Also visit the website at chuckchat.com for all the forums, the webcam, the swag, and everything else under the sun.
Captain.
Oh my God.
This show is a member of Friends in Tech. You can find out more at starbasefriendsintech.com.
Spock, what in the hell does that mean?
If you are getting this show the old-fashioned way by clicking on it directly from the website, you should subscribe.
Don't forget, tell a friend about Technorama. And Craig's flipped out again. Come on, Craig. Oh, we lose him right at the end of the show. That's just the way it goes sometimes. Let's see if we can bring him back in for the binary high five before the time runs out. Come on, Craig. This is an interesting ending.
I flipped out again.
You flipped out. This is an interesting ending. You're just in time for the binary high five. Welcome back.
Oh, thank you. Are we ready?
Ready. Binary high five.
101.
Thank you. We'll have to think of another style for the next one. Thanks for listening, everybody. Take care. Till next time on our 1-year anniversary show. Bye now.